Have a seat. Isn't it great to get a bath in the Holy Spirit?
Amen.
Anybody feel better? Hallelujah. Amen. I tell you, that was wonderful. That was wonderful. Enjoying the presence of the Lord. It's good to be able to jump in and be here with you today. We're rejoicing over a good report on Pastor Nick. Amen. In Jesus' name. Amen. You got to do better than that. Amen. Yeah. Come on now. So I'm going to jump right into the word with you this morning. If I haven't met you, my name is Keith Tusey. I am the founding pastor of Bridge City Church, 1982. We met in a little funeral home, about eight of us to start with, in a little funeral home on Linden Avenue in East Pittsburgh, and it wasn't even a nice funeral home. But from there, God began to do great and exciting things, and so you're a part of that. You're a part of that heritage. As we were praying this morning, I looked up, I saw Sue and Rob Benedetti and the Matarazzo's there, and I thought, what a great heritage. These people I've walked with for over 40 years of my life, they've been a part of my life. Hallelujah. And let me just throw this in at no extra charge today. If I was a younger married couple, whatever you qualify what younger is, that's your problem, okay? But I would invite one of those couples out to eat or over to my house. Just and talk to them. Just say, talk to us. Tell us what you know. Tell us how you've got through life. Tell us how you've negotiated the crises of life. Tell us how you've stayed in the faith. Tell us how you've kept your joy. That's what I would do. I would learn from somebody that's walked it out. Somebody that's been, you know, a great inspiration in my life, that's helped me, that stood with me. And we would not be here today without people like that. That's whose backs we stand on. We need to celebrate those people. But don't watch them. Learn from them, okay? So, guys, if you want to be a good husband, say, you know what, honey, guess who's coming over tonight? You know? And you say, well, we don't even have money. Then take them out for a donut. I mean, buy them a cup of coffee. But get around people and drink from their well. Amen?
Right.
And there's others, too, but I was just... When I was sitting there, and then I thought, hey, if they're praying for me, I'm going to get prayer. I'm not going to miss out on that. So, amen. I want to talk to you about real faith today. Anybody interested in real faith?
Amen.
I want to talk to you about real faith, where you get it, and how it works. How about that? So we're going to move real quick, which is usually my custom. But I want to go to Hebrews 11:6. And usually I read a whole bunch of scripture and go through the text. But I'm going to bounce a little bit today. Okay, I'm going to shift gears, but let's look at this verse of scripture. I'm reading from the New American Standard. Lord, we thank you for our heart. Just open your heart right now. Say, Lord, speak to me.
Yes, Lord.
Raise your expectation level right now. Lord, we receive the engrafted word, which is able to save our soul, which is able to transform us. Lord, give me the tongue of the learned this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. Now let me just say this. God does not use the word impossible too often. Hardly ever. You will hear that from the Holy Spirit. Yet in this verse of scripture, that is a culmination of 10 chapters of teaching, that we're going to actually cover those 10 chapters today, believe it or not. It's going to be a drive-by, let me just tell you. He says it's impossible to please him without faith. That doesn't mean there's not other things we should do, but that faith is what pleases him. So the question is, faith in what and faith how and how does it work? For the one who comes to God must believe that he exists, or that he is, most translations say, and he proves to be the one who rewards those who seek him. God is good. So you have to understand that there is a heavenly Father and he's good. The nature of God is good. Actually, if you look at that verse, there's a verse in Deuteronomy 6 that's very similar to this verse. This is almost a quote of Deuteronomy 6, that God means good for us. So you have to understand that. You have to know who God is, and when you know who he is, he's not hard to approach. You know, sometimes we have the wrong image of things in our life. You know, I can't tell you how many times in my life, this is probably not a compliment, but people have come to me and said, oh, now that I got to know you, you're not such a bad guy. Oh, thanks a lot. Like, well, we just thought you were a lot more like I don't know if they use the word mean, you know, or like strict or austere. No, wait a minute. Well, once we got to know you, you're not so bad a guy. Oh, thank you very much. Was that a compliment? But I think there's a lot of people, of course, that don't know God at all that think of God like that. Right. And unfortunately, there might be people under the sound of my voice today that who God is not clear to you because you're looking at a God based on experience, not based on the Word of God or what you think is your experience. But I want to talk about that today. The end result is that we please God. Listen, the purpose of faith is not to get what you want. Faith is not Christian pragmatism. The purpose of faith is pleasing God. My life is to be an offering to God. When I lay my head down at night, like I'm a pretty energetic person, and I think, well, what did I get accomplished today? What did I do? How did I help people? You know, but at the end of the day, because I've had some days that I didn't have a good list, more than one day. And I have usually pretty high expectations, and so most days there was something more I felt like I could have got done or done or whatever. But at the end of the day, the test is, was I pleasing to God? Did I please God? Now, we just came through a very wonderful worship experience. Wouldn't you say so? Amen. But do you know that had nothing to do with you? We don't measure it on, oh, that was really good, and that song ministered to my heart, and the Holy Spirit was here, and, you know, I had some charismatic experience, and I love all that stuff. Count me in. I'm the first one in the pool. But at the end of the day, was my worship, was your worship to God pleasing to Him? Or are you worshiping at your own convenience or your own comfort level? I hear that. That's nonsense. It's to please God. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. God has designed you, listen to me, God has designed you to be a God pleaser, and He's not put that in your heart to frustrate you. Unto all pleasing, the scripture says. So here's another, you know, realistic question. What happens when it seems like our faith has not hit the goal? What happens when we seemingly have trusted God, done all we've done, and we did not get the desired results? Has that ever happened to anybody here? If you believe for anything, there's things that you've believed for that you've not seen come to pass, right? But see, when you remember, wait a minute, my believing is designed to please God. And I can tell you, I have great testimonies. I could write a book on all the times I believed for something and it didn't come to pass. Matter of fact, in the book I wrote, The God Who Intervenes, there's a chapter in there on suffering loss. Because I've suffered loss. I know what it's like to feel like I've given everything, trusting and believing, and it didn't come to pass. But can I tell you this? Can I finish the sentence? There was never one time, and I can say this with honesty, where I did that, where I regretted doing it. Because my faith pleased God. We say, well, Pastor Keith, you know, what about the answer? Well, me and Jesus will talk about that someday. Are you with me? But I can tell you, being fully engaged and trusting God, although my targeted, desired, circumstantial need or expectation did not come to pass, I was training my faith muscle for the next round. So you can either fall back or you can either move forward. But when you understand that faith is designed to please God, so when you're standing in the gap and you're believing God, it's not just about your desired answer, what you're focused on, which is very important, by the way, but it's like, am I believing God? See, I'm a believer. That's what the Bible calls me. That should be my nature. I should be leaning in and I should be believing God. If I had an X-ray vision of your spirit this morning, and I don't, so don't get nervous, unless the Lord gives me a word or something. I've actually had an X-ray happen to me twice in my life, actually, where I don't want to get into that. It's a whole other story. You'll leave here with more questions than answers. But if I had an X-ray of your spirit this morning, would I see a faith that's grabbing onto something? Or would you be in neutral? Is there something right now that you're trusting God for, act of faith, or are you just hoping things will work out? Heathens hope things work out.
Right.
Everybody out there is hoping something will work out. But we're designed to be engaged in faith, hanging on to God, hanging on to the Word, pulling ourselves close to Him because He's made a way for us to do it. So I don't have the answers for all the time it doesn't work. But one of my go-tos is Daniel 3. Let me share that with you. In Daniel 3, many of you know the story. It's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Nebuchadnezzar has taken over Jerusalem. He's a wicked king. He's punishing the servants of God. He wants them to bow their knee. And here's what he says. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king Nebuchadnezzar, "We are not in need to answer to give you concerning this matter." He said, "You got to worship the false god." They said, "You know what? We don't have to pray about it. There's some things you don't have to pray about. I'm not doing that." Okay? "We are not in need of an answer to give you concerning this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to rescue us from the furnace of blazing fire, and He will rescue us from your hand." But listen to verse 18. "But even if He does not, let it be known to you, O king, that we are not going to serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up." Let me just share this with you. Here's where real faith works. No matter what happens or what doesn't happen in my life, it is not going to change my relationship with Jesus Christ. That's exactly, listen to me, that's exactly what the enemy wants to do. And if he can drive a wedge in you and draw you from God, he will keep using that same tactic. He will keep bringing those same circumstances. So, you know, it's like any great relationship. You're not going to let something that goes sideways in it determine your future. Hello?
Amen.
I'm not going to let my relationship to God be, "God, I'm going to serve you. I'm going to love you." See, that's why the church has martyrs. You know, the great prophetic statement that the seed of the church is the blood of martyrs. When we get to heaven, I hope you're there with me. When we meet those martyrs, they're going to be in front of the line worshiping the Lamb around the throne. Do you understand me? Not one of them is going to have regretted their decision. I'm sure they were all believing for deliverance, but they were not disappointed because they were pleasing God. You say, "Well, that doesn't make sense," but it's true. Truth is greater than fact. Facts are subject to change. Truth is eternal. Okay? We have to understand that. I've never regretted trusting God, even though I didn't get the desired results. Now notice in verse 6, it says, "He who comes to God." Now this is important, because what the book of Hebrews has taught for 10 chapters is that you can come. Listen, see, that's amazing, because almost every religion, not almost, every other religion in the world except Christianity says you got to try to come. You got to be a good boy and a good girl for a long time, and then maybe you can come. And maybe you can come on a certain day at a certain time, or maybe you'll have to get Pastor Nick to come with you. This is good preaching. But you just can't come because you're just not good enough. In Ephesians 2, when it talks about the plan of redemption, it says, "And now," listen to this, I love this, "and now we have access to God."
Right.
You have access to God. The greatest credential in your life, the greatest thing on your resume, is that you're a son or daughter of God and you can talk to Father anytime. He is always available.
Right.
And you can please Him not by your resume, but by faith.
Right.
So it begs the question, faith in what? And it's certainly not on my merits. So like I said, the first 10 chapters of the book of Hebrews, by the way, who was the book of Hebrews written to? Hebrews. It was written to Jewish people. It was written to people that had gone to the temple and they had made sacrifices and they had kept the holy days and they had done all their traditions and their faith was in all of that. And some of them were now struggling a little bit and they said, like, you know, yeah, we believe in Jesus, but like, you know, should we like offer a pigeon or a lamb or something just to cover our bases? Should we be okay? This is what they were doing. If you read the book, that he's answering their struggles. And some of them were falling back, and there were people saying, it's okay to believe in Jesus, but you got to do this too. See, it's not Jesus plus anything. Are you with me? He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Exclusive salvation from Jesus' mouth. Okay? So for these 10 chapters, he does this great argument. He starts out and says, you know, Jesus is better than the law. He says, Jesus is better than Moses. Jesus is better than sacrifice. Jesus is better than Abraham. Jesus is better than, you read 10 chapters, Jesus is better than the angels. Then he lays it and he goes, Jesus is God, and Jesus came in the flesh. He was before all things, and all things were made by him and through him. Without him, there's nothing that was made that is made. Jesus created the beginning. It says in the beginning, he created it. That's how big he is. Amen? And that he is God in the flesh. Now, I want to get to the part about what is our faith in, okay? How do you have faith? Because, I wasn't raised in church at all. I was saved on a street corner. Many of you know my testimony through preaching. I never heard the gospel. So I didn't have a lot of religious nonsense in my head, all right? But believing that there was a God, A, that loved me was pretty outrageous, and B, that would tolerate me, let alone embrace me, I mean, it's pretty far-fetched. Right. The gospel is outrageous. See, we say, well, God loves you. It's not like God loves you. It's like God loves you. See, it just depends on where you put the emphasis, right? But we say it wrong. God loves, like Kevin, I mean, you're a nice guy, but you're not that cute. I mean, I'm just saying. I know your wife thinks you are, you know, but I mean, none of us are, right? It's God loves you. It's how big God is. It's his ability to love, because I know all about me, and I don't even like me sometimes. Hello. But God loves the me even that I don't like. And he loves me so much, he's not going to leave me like that. Oh, God wants to accept you where you're at. Yeah, so he can change you. If you're still where you're at when you met Christ, you're not in a good place. You're supposed to be changing glory to glory. Okay, I better get to this. Hebrews 8:1. We're just going to go through some verses here. Now, the main point, okay, here's what this means. That's the main point. So he's summarizing 8 chapters here. Now, the main point in what has been said is this. We have such a high priest. You don't need to go to a priest anymore. When I was a pastor, I used to say to people sometimes, look, I am not your priest. I do not take your place in your relationship with God. I want to help you in your relationship with God. I want to lead you into green pastures. I want you to stand on your own 2 feet. I want you to know that you're a son and God of God and a daughter of God in spite of who you are because of your father. I can't take your place. We have such a high priest who has taken his seat. That's very important wording. At the right hand of the throne of majesty in the heavens. What did God do after creation? What did he do? He sat down. Why did he sit? Because what he created was good. Everywhere in the New Testament, except for one exception, when we see Jesus, you know what he's doing at the throne? What's he doing, Pastor Rob? He's sitting. Why is he sitting? But listen to me. He's done everything about saving you that needs to be done, and he's at rest. The only time we see him standing up is when Stephen is being martyred. And it says, and the Lord stood up. I want God to stand up for me someday. It's great to stand up for God, but I tell you, when God stands up for you, you're in a whole other place, let me just tell you. That should be our desire, that we bring Jesus off his seat to applaud our obedience to him. Hallelujah. And I guarantee you, Stephen's prayers weren't being answered, but he was pleasing God. That's a tough one, isn't it? That would take a lot of theological discussion. But we see it, and God spells it out for us. So here we see, he's at rest. Let's go to the next chapter, verse 9, or chapter 9. and not through the blood of goats and calves, but through his own blood, he entered the holy place. How many times did he do it? Once and for all, having obtained eternal redemption. In other words, he did it once, it's done. Jesus is not going back to the cross. Do you know, listen, do you know that when you do not allow the Holy Spirit to draw you to him, when you're under conviction, now I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but how many people have been under conviction and we felt so unworthy for actions or thoughts we had that we thought if we just didn't go near God for a while, it would get a little bit better? Yeah, and how many people found out that is a recipe for disaster? Amen? Amen. You know, in my life, like, if my life was a yard, there would be a path of no grass where I run to God. I've worn it out. Like, here comes Keith again. And you know what? Every time he smiles when I'm coming. Just like every time he smiles when you're coming. Because when you're a parent, when you're a father and you're a mother and your children are in need or they're weak or they're broken or they've even done something stupid, where do you want them to come? You want them to come to you. Don't you think he's better than we are on our best day? Amen. So he says we have this eternal redemption once and for all. It's done. Then later in the chapter it says, so Christ also, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time. Oh, yes, he will. Yes, he will. Without reference, listen to this phrase, without reference to sin. In other words, when he comes back the second time, it's not to take care of sin. He's coming as a conquering king because sin has already been dealt with. Amen. Your debt has already been paid. This is what we have faith in. I don't have faith in my experience. I don't have faith in my goodness. I have faith in the finished work of Christ. And when you have faith in the finished work of Christ, your boldness, your authority, your confidence resides in him, not in you, and you can't be compromised even in your weakest moment. Even when you sin, because God has a remedy for that. He hates sin so much, he obliterates it. He doesn't say, I just want you to sulk for a little while. Do you know that when we do that, listen, I'm not saying this to offend you, but when we do that, we are assaulting the cross. We might think we're being religious. We might think we're being humble. But we are insulting the cross. We're saying, these scriptures are not true for me today, Jesus, because I've been a really bad boy and I've been a really bad girl and you probably were. Hello? But he had a solution. Hallelujah. And it's his blood once and for all. There's not another sacrifice you can make. Okay? He's not coming back with references into those who eagerly await him. How do I eagerly await him? I'm not going to run and hide because I stand in his righteousness, not on my own works, not on my own goodness. I am as needy today for him on the day I bowed my knee and said, God, I'm a sinner, please save me. Right. I'm just as needy. Right. Matter of fact, I probably have a greater revelation of my own weaknesses today than I ever have had in my life. But I also have a greater revelation of that I'm his son, right, and he's my dad, right, and his word works in my life, right, and he likes me. Right. He just doesn't love me. He likes me. Right. And there's some things he doesn't like, and he's making them likable. That's the plan. That's the goal, molding me into his image. Come on, say out your amen. Amen. Right? Look at chapter 10. Therefore, that's another conclusion, right? The old saying, if it's a therefore, find out what it's there for, right? That's a conclusion. Brothers and sisters, notice how he calls them, brothers and sisters. Since we have confidence to enter the holy place. Now, this is a reference to the Old Testament where the priest could only go into the holy place one time a year. They could only go and talk to God one time a year. Now, we can get up, we can roll out of bed, we can talk to God. We can drive down the road speaking in tongues, ida shunda. I know it makes the people with you a little nervous, but it's a lot of fun, hallelujah. Ida da shunda, talking tongues all the time. Just communicating with God, building up my spirit to enter the holy place. How? Because I went to church and I gave my tithe and I'm on one of the teams. I love that. You should do all those things. But you do that because you have faith, not to get faith. Because, say it with me, because of the blood. Jesus gave himself for that. By a new and living way, which he inaugurated. He made the way for us through the veil that is through his flesh. Again, Old Testament reference to the tabernacle, that where there was a curtain that priest couldn't go behind. And Jesus, when he died, the Bible says that the veil was rent. It was broken open so that we have access. God wants you to run to him. My faith is in Christ. When he said it's impossible to please God without faith, he wasn't talking about believing in things. He was talking about believing in him and standing on that. When you understand that the debt has been paid, how many of you have ever had an experience where you paid a bill and somebody said you didn't pay it? Has anybody ever had that experience? I'm telling you, you need to check your bills, all right? I know people don't even check their charge card statements. And we go through every one of them. I say, Penny, what's this? Penny, what's that? Penny, what's this? Did we buy that? Did you buy that? Who's using our charge card? Okay. Joke. But if I get some bill that I paid for or somebody blessed me and paid for, I don't say, oh, I guess I'll just pay for it again. Oh, no, you're going to hear from me. And I'm going to be very bold about it. I'm going to be very confident. I'm going to pull out my receipts and my canceled checks or my emails or my Apple Pay, whatever device you use. Are you with me? I'm going to say, I'm sorry. I just had this. UPMC. They kept sending me a letter. I said, well, here's a letter I got 3 months ago saying it was paid. I said, so I'm choosing this letter. This is the letter I choose. And see, that's how the word works in you. The enemy comes at you. Your life comes at you. There's circumstances. The enemy's saying, this is what I choose. I'm believing this report. Whose report will you believe? Are you with me? So when I pay for something, I want it. When God pays for something, he wants it. God makes no apology for wanting all of you. Can I tell you that? Listen, can I just give you a revelation? Jesus does not want to be a part of your life. He wants your whole life. When I was at Living Hope Church, one time we were doing a big missions thing and somebody had visited the church and they said to one of our leaders, well, maybe you're just one of those churches that wants our money. You know what I said to them? It's way worse than that. We want your whole life. Because that's what Jesus paid for. Yeah, it's just, the money's just the tip of the iceberg. You have no idea where this is going. I'm just a truth speaker, right? Come on now. Listen, Jesus wants what he paid for. When he bought the field, he bought the rocks. He bought the environmental pollution. And he paid more for it than anybody else would. That's what my faith is in. Without faith, this kind of faith, it's impossible to please God. When I come to God, I don't come on my merits. I don't come because I got a great pastor. I don't even come because I know the Bible a little bit. I don't come because I'm trying real hard. That's all good. I like all those things. I come on the basis of the blood of Jesus Christ, where the Word of God says once and for all, he inaugurated a way. He made a way. He christened a way for me to come. Hallelujah. Now, after this, he starts talking about people that fall back. Let's look at that. All right, because that's written for a reason. Let's look at Hebrews 10. Go a couple other verses down here, I think to verse 35. Therefore, another therefore, right? Do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. When you have I'll call it this, a faith disappointment. And I've had faith disappointments. I've also seen some incredible, outrageous, outright miracles that the only thing you could do was blame it on God. But you don't get there unless you get over the hurdles of faith disappointments. You'll never have that faith muscle. You'll never have that faith capacity to learn to keep believing when things haven't gone right, when you just can say, you know what? I did everything I could. I stood on the word. I believe God, and God smiled on it, and I please God. Just like when you have a bad day and things went sideways and you handled it right, you were pure in your spirit, and you lay your head down at night and you say, you know what? Today, Lord, we had a good day. I pleased you. Sure was a crummy day circumstantially, but I was pleasing to you. Amen? What, you see, that breeds confidence in your spirit because you're focused on the right thing. God is not moving the target around. It's not a shell game. Okay? Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has what? A great reward. What did he say in Hebrews 11:6? He is a rewarder of those that seek him. That's what you have to know about God. If you seek God, you will be rewarded. You know what Abraham said to God? Abraham, by the way, was the richest man in the world at this time. Do you know that? The Bible is very clear about that. The richest man in the world. You know what he was worried about? Who's going to get all my money when I die? You say, I thought Abraham was spiritual. Yeah, he was. He was thinking about his legacy. Isn't that? Aren't you relieved to know that people think just like you? It's like, who's going to get all my inheritance? Where's all this money going to go? You know what God said to him? Abraham, I'm your reward. I'm your reward. That stuff is great, but I'm even bigger than that. Hallelujah. That's what I'm talking about here today. Don't fall back. Don't fall back. Now, look at a couple verses ahead of that. Let's go back a couple verses. Did I give you Hebrews 10:32? Now, this is the context, okay? So this is important. Persecution has started in the church. Many of these Jewish people have been rejected from their family. Some of you here probably have family members that aren't wild about your faith and where you're going right now with your faith, especially if you come from any kind of a religious tradition. You know, they're just like maybe not real happy with you. Join the crowd. But remember the former days when, after being enlightened, that you endured a great conflict of sufferings. That's emotional sufferings. That, there's six Greek words for suffering in the New Testament. That's some pasho. It's like, you know, rejection and misrepresentation and judgment, all those things. Partly by being made a public spectacle through insults and distress, and partly by becoming companions with those who were so treated. So when someone is being persecuted or mistreated, when we rally to them, then we get counted in, right? We should be a rallying people. You know, we're covenant. That's our saying in Bridge City Church, we're covenant. That means if you got an enemy, they just became my enemy. They're messing with you, they're messing with me. They're going after you, I'm going to show up. Okay? That's just how it works. I don't have to think about that. I don't have to pray about that. Okay? Somebody attacks you, then count me in. Uncle Keith is coming. All right? By being companions with those who were so treated, for you showed sympathy to the prisoners and accepted, listen to this, joyfully the seizure of your property because of your faith. They were losing their jobs. They were saying, you don't have your citizenship anymore. You're not allowed to own property because now you're a Christian. And they were doing everything they could to stop the Christian faith. And what were these people doing? We're pleasing God. O King Nebuchadnezzar, our Lord is able to deliver us. And even if he doesn't, we're not bowing our knee. My God is bigger than my house. It's bigger than my paycheck. It's bigger than my retirement account. I mean, we could be on the verge of some of this testing. America does not have an immunity against this. Are you with me? I'm trying to show you what your faith is supposed to be in. My faith is not about, did my prayers get answered? I energize my faith to do that. I want my prayers to be answered. But my faith is in the blood of Jesus that gives me access to God so that I can have confidence that I please him. And if I please him, then everything else pales in comparison to it, even though some of those palings are pretty important.
Right.
Don't ask me to say that again. I want to listen to what I just said. It sounded pretty good. Okay. Knowing that you have for yourselves, woo, come on now. Knowing that you have for yourself a better possession. I'm not even going to get to the last point. I'm out of time. I haven't even talked about how to get faith. I just talked about what faith's supposed to be in. Let me just say this. The Bible says we all have a measure of faith. Every one of you have a measure of faith. You have the measure of faith. You do not, listen to me, if you're a born-again child of God, you do not have a faith deficit. You have a word deficit. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word. If you want to be full of faith, be full of the word. So many times I'm praying with people. I'm going to close here. So many times I'm praying for people, legitimate needs. They have a marriage challenge, they have a sickness challenge, a financial challenge, a vision challenge, whatever it may be. Life is full of challenges, right? And they'll say, Pastor Keith, you'll pray for me. Of course I'll pray for you. And I'll say, what scripture are you standing on? And they'll look at me sometimes like a deer in the headlights. Can I just tell you, if you don't have a word, you really can't have faith. You can have hope. Sometimes I ask people this question. I'll ask them if they're saved, just, you know, having fun with them sometimes. Are you saved? Yeah. I say, how do you know? And sometimes they'll say, well, you know, I got baptized or I went to the... I'm not doubting their salvation. What concerns me is it's not based on the word, because my feelings will come and go. I've had a couple days where I didn't feel too saved. How about you? You ever have a day like that? You've got a holy group, because none of them have felt this way. This is the best church I've ever preached in my life. They're just looking at me like, I have no idea what you're talking about. I said I had a couple days where I didn't feel real saved. And I might not even acted real saved. But I knew I was saved because the Bible said he will no wise cast me out those that come to him. Said, I'm saved by grace through faith, and that not of myself. It's a gift of God. The Bible says in Romans 10, if I confess with my mouth and believe with my heart the Lord Jesus and God raise him from the dead, I'll be saved. That's why I'm saved. That's where my faith is at. My faith is that he did it once and for all. That's my faith. What is your faith in today? I'm not asking you what kind of condition your life is in. That's a whole nother message. But without faith, it's impossible. Say impossible. Listen to me. When God says it's impossible, he means it. So if you're trying to pull this off some other way, it's not going to work. Lord, I come to you. I come to you on the basis of Jesus Christ, that he was mocked, that he was rejected, that he was spit on, that he was lied about, that he was tortured, that he was stabbed, that he had nails driven through his body, that he was stripped naked and humiliated. That's what my faith is in. My faith is in I got a paid sticker on my soul. And the world can come to me and try to say I'm not paid for, but I'm paid for. Hallelujah. How about you? Stand up with me. Maybe for some of you today, honestly, it's really to say, I need a verse that I'm going to stand on just on my salvation. Jesus was in the wilderness. Remember the story in Luke 4? Jesus is in the wilderness. And the devil comes to Jesus. Now listen to me. If the devil came to Jesus, he'll come to you. There is a real devil. He's not omnipresent. He's not God, but there are many demons, okay? Hold on to the story. But listen to what he said to Jesus. Listen to this. He looked right at Jesus and said, if you are the Son of God. And you know how Jesus answered him? Jesus didn't say, look at my miracles. Jesus said, it is written. That's what Jesus said. If the enemy said to Jesus, you're not the Son of God, what's he going to say to you? You're not really a man of God. You're not really a woman of God. You're not really born again. Has anybody ever heard that voice? If you really love God, if you were really serving God, see, I'm not going to have that argument because the devil might even be right. I might really have some stuff in my life that he's accusing me of, but I'm paid for, hallelujah. And I'm going to run to Jesus. I'm not going to run from him. That's where my faith is at. Lift up your hands this morning. He doesn't want to be part of your life. He wants your whole life. He bought it. He owns it. He's got a sold sticker waiting for you. Hallelujah. Just surrender to that. Just surrender that. Whatever you're believing God for, some of you came up here for prayer today. And the Holy Spirit was here. This is what I would say to you. Go home today. Get your Bible out and find a verse that you're standing on. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word. If you don't know how to do that, get somebody. Be humble. Say, hey, I don't know how to find a verse like that. Somebody will help you. And start speaking that word. Let faith build up in your heart. So the enemy presses your button. He doesn't get a reject slip. He gets the word of God. Just like Jesus did. It is written. The devil tempted him 3 times. Every time the devil tempted him, Jesus answered the same way. It is written. It is written. I am a child of God. I stand here today on the basis of a child of God. Are you with me? That's what my faith is in. Without that, it's impossible to please God. I'm going to turn it over to Pastor Nick real quick in Jesus' name.